Take your Bibles, please, and join me in Acts chapter 27 this evening. I'm praying that this will be the last in our series that we've been doing since the beginning of the year related to New Year's challenge and how to deal with things that are out of our control. Some people don't deal well with things out of their control. How many of you have heard the expression, cool as a cucumber? Right. How many of you have been told you're cool as a cucumber? Oh, wow. You know, to be cool as a cucumber, the idea is that somebody that just kind of takes things in stride and when things go south. And some people have the ability to do that. Other people go into a rage. Other people just lose it and start running. There's just different responses whenever things don't go as planned. And here we find a saint of God, the Apostle Paul, dealing with a situation that is scary, a situation that he had not planned on in his trip to Rome, but nonetheless took place, something that had happened twice before, and that is a shipwreck. I cannot imagine. I've only been on a ship a few times over the years, and I did have a boat, and I did not sink it, so I'm very happy that I didn't do that. But I've been in a boat during lightning storms. I've been on board ship. My wife and I, when first got married, I found out just how sick she can get whenever she goes on a boat. And we went across the strait there, the Northumberland Strait, to get over to Prince Edward Island for our honeymoon. And she was not feeling well. That big ferry that we rode on was rocking back and forth, and it was not a fun trip for her. And then we went on an Alaskan cruise, and really she was having difficulty with that, mainly because of the patch that she had on that was supposed to keep her from getting sick fell off. She put another patch in the same spot, and that just made her really, really sick. And, when we deal with those things that come our way that we're not planning on, you know, we can demonstrate to others in that situation a calmness and a collective understanding of what's happening, and we can be a blessing to others. Amen. Paul was a blessing. Look at the last verse of Acts chapter 27. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship, and so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Everything that God told the Apostle Paul, if they stayed with the ship, they would be saved. And he was able to bring calmness to deal with that situation. Early on, it didn't seem like they were going to pay attention to him. But he was able to show a calmness with dealing with things out of his control. And we certainly can do that. I read the stories of some of the individuals that were aboard those planes that crashed on 9/11 back in 2001. And some of those that had called their wives and they were on the phone with them and said, I don't think I'm going to survive, honey. I just want you to know I love you. And it gave testimony. One of them prayed with his wife while they were on the cell phone, to let her know that he was going to be with the Lord Jesus if the plane did not return. And you hear those stories, and you realize here was somebody that was able to be calm when they're about to lose their life. You know, you're thinking about what's going to happen in just a few moments. How am I going to die? And he was able to remain calm and pray with his wife and comfort her, and let her know that he would be in the arms of the Lord, and God would take, and he encouraged her. He said, I want you to find another mate. And she said, don't talk to me about that. Don't even say that. And said, well, I just want you to know that I want you to go on. You're still fairly young, and you can get remarried and so forth like that if I don't survive this. And just having a conversation that was at peace. Are you at peace tonight? If on your way home tonight, you were involved in a terrible accident, it seems like we have them all the time in Milton, people lose their lives, are you at peace? You know, you need to ask yourself that question. Paul said of himself, he said, I examine myself whether I'm in the faith. And so it's an encouragement to us. Am I ready to meet the Lord? Paul was ready. And because he was ready, he could be a blessing when things were out of control. And that's the way we ought to be. We ought to be able to control ourselves and know the peace that passeth all understanding. And no doubt, God in those special instances flood His children with peace. Flood His children with peace. I read the testimony of Savonarola. I mentioned him this morning. And an Italian evangelist back in the 1400s who was executed for his faith. But some of the conversations that he had on his way to be killed are some of the most astounding conversations. Just a calmness, a peace that he knew he would be in the arms of the Lord. He didn't know what he would have to suffer. But they said that whenever he was being burned at the stake, he was taken and hung, first of all, but that on the expression on his face, even though he had already passed, was one of someone that looked like they were smiling. It was stunning to those that watched his body be consumed after he had been hung. The man was ready to meet the Lord. He was at peace. And I think many times we talk a lot about how ready we are, but when the moment comes, we're not, because it was just talk. We need to be ready. We need to be at peace with the Lord and have that wonderful understanding. We talked about last time things that were outside of His control. And I want to share with you these thoughts tonight as we wrap up this study here. In verse 9, we looked at how He was able to be in control of His actions. We looked at last time how He was in control of His words. He wasn't ranting. He wasn't talking in a nervous sort of way. He was able to keep Himself calm and communicate with those that are around Him. Tonight I want to get into the last four, 3 through 6 here. His demeanor. Look at verses 21 of this passage here, because I want you to see His demeanor, how He acted with all this that was happening. Verse 21, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. They weren't able to keep any of the lading that was on board that ship. It was all gone. The ship was gone. He said, you should have listened to me. We could have been spared from all this. But then he says, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. There's almost to me to be a little bit of humor here. Here everybody looks like drowned rats. Their outer garments are soaked. They're soaked to the bone. The ship has already run aground at this point. And, you know, they're soaked. It's pouring down rain. Perhaps Euroclodon has lightning and other things. I don't know what they were enduring at that time. And he said, men, you should have listened to me. But be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Now, here in this moment, his demeanor is one of, I told you so. But also, listen, understand something. God has shared with me that if you stay with me, you'll be safe. Everybody's going to make it on shore. Now, you talk about a peaceful message in chaos. They're hearing the breakers crash on the rocks. The waves are coming over the ship. The sails have already been torn. The masts are down. And this man says, be of good cheer. We're all going to make it. Now, that's kind of encouraging, is it not? We've heard many, many stories of airlines that lost altitude and people were injured because they didn't have their seatbelts on, and the screaming and the crying that goes on. Did that ever happen with you when you were a pilot? Not to... Somebody was asleep and having a dream? But of course they came and told you, got you, right? Yeah, wow. Can you imagine maniacal screams on board? You're all asleep, and maniacal screams break out while you're sleeping, and immediately you hit the panic button. Boom, we're going down. No, we're not. It's a woman making maniacal screams. Now, that would be a calming thing to say. And Lynn has a very calming voice, does he not? And I'm sure he came out over that. That says, we've got everything under control. This lady's husband is a doctor, and he's going to take care of her. He probably had this massive injection that he gave her, and she was out for the rest of the trip, and they were able to sleep, right, brother? So you're able to calm everybody down on that flight. So another illustration from Brother Lynn. Good. But we've also heard the ones that didn't go so well. And, you know, things start flipping upside down and craziness starts happening. And, wow, it's hard to keep your composure at that moment when something terrible is about to happen. But I want you to know something here. Paul was able to maintain a demeanor that after this point, they trusted him on everything that he said. They were able to trust him. Before they didn't, but now they trust him because what he said before was accurate. It wasn't something that he knew intuitively. God had revealed it to him. And he had told them. They chose not to do it. They chose to set sail. Now they're going to be broken to pieces. And he says, be of good cheer. Everyone is going to survive. Everybody's going to make it. You know, those kind of people are extremely helpful in those kind of times. They're a blessing. The video I showed you of Brother Jethro, having just heard from the doctor inside that her husband was dead. Her husband just last week was in perfect health. But he got into some water that he drank, and he imbibed some type of horrible bacteria, and the cholera got him, and he passed away. They couldn't save him. His kidneys shut down, and they couldn't save him. And so Brother Jethro was able to be there to communicate that message. And he was broken. You could hear him sobbing as he was trying to give her the message and pray with her. But I'm sure that she was encouraged by the ministry of a pastor that was concerned about her. Not easy to lose a husband when you have three children and one on the way. But he had the right demeanor to encourage her and to let her know that God's going to take care of her. I think about Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not lack for anything. That's the translation, I shall not want. I will not lack for anything. God can take care of us in every situation. So Paul had the proper demeanor. His admonition in verses 21 through 22 was spot on. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, because there will be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. You know, things can be replaced. Amen. Now, it may not look exactly like what it was before, but things can be replaced. I remember several years ago watching an interview with a lady who had lost her house in California in a fire, and she was just sobbing and crying uncontrollably. Her husband was trying to help her through that time because she was sobbing over all the pictures that she had lost and all the heirlooms that she had lost. And he kept repeating to her, honey, we're alive. We're alive. We could have been dead, but we're alive. We can go on. We can still live without pictures and heirlooms. We can replace things like a house. But when your heart and mind is so connected to things, you can easily get overwhelmed. But when you're reminded that you're going to make it, we're going to lose things, but we're not going to lose life. The admonition was such that it was an encouragement because we know the end of the story. Amen? They all survived. That kind of mentality. Now we don't know today. Now, please don't misunderstand me in this. God does not communicate to us the same way that He communicated in that first century with the apostles. The heavens are silent now. I can't go to anyone and say, God told me to tell you, you're going to be healed of your cancer. If I said that, you should be suspect immediately. Because I don't have that kind of knowledge. Who has that kind of knowledge, though? Almighty God does. So what do? We beseech Him. And we ask God to undertake. And God can answer in a multitude of ways that brings glory to His name, but also can take care of His child. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Number 5. Notice His instruction in verses 22 through 24. Look at verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee, now get this, all them that sail with thee. I have to tell you, I'm overwhelmed by that statement. That Paul was given the gift of all the lives of those that were aboard that ship as a gift. Because he himself would stand before the king of Rome and he would give the gospel to him. God says, you're going to do that. And I've given you a gift. I'm going to give you all the lives of these that were aboard this ship. Folks, think about that for just a moment. To live in such a way that God can entrust you with the lives of others. But I want to go a step beyond that. Do you know God's done the same thing for you? He's entrusted in you the lives of your children, the lives of your grandchildren. Do you live in such a way that the God of heaven could say to you, I'm going to give you your children and your grandchildren, because you've given me yourself. And you've lived in such a way to bring me honor and glory. God has done this throughout the centuries, where He's given to individuals. I thought about immediately George Mueller. George Mueller, when he was found dead, had been on his knees. He was slumped down after being in prayer. When they moved his body out of the way, in the floorboards were ruts where through the years he had prayed every day. It actually had taken all the stain off the flooring and it actually put ruts in the wood. They found his prayer book. It was a thick book and it had all of his prayer requests since the beginning of the orphanage. When they leafed through there, they only found 3 requests that had not been answered. And within the next 2 years, those 3 prayer requests were answered. You know what God did? God gave to George Mueller the lives of those that he had prayed for. I have no doubt about that. What a testimony. Do we live that way? Can God entrust to us the souls of men and women and children? Because we've lived in such a way we can communicate with God and we can talk to Him. We can stop what we're doing and go talk to Him any time of the day and we have an entrance with the Father. Because we live in such a way that we can do that. God will sometimes give gifts of individuals to us to see them come to faith in Jesus Christ. Very important lesson. And then finally, number 6. His attitude throughout this whole scenario of what happened. His attitude. Attitude makes a huge difference, folks. That's what people look at. When they see you under pressure, they look at you and they look at your attitude. What's our attitude like? I have to admit that whenever I'm driving through Milton, my attitude oftentimes is not very good. I got behind the other day, behind an individual that was trying to see how slow their car would go, right? And guess what? They did it. And I couldn't pass on the left side because other slow people were there because they don't know that the far left lane is for faster traffic. They think it's for slower traffic and that the right one is for both slow and fast, all right? So there's confusion out there on the road. And I sat there and I waited and I waited and waited. I finally had to honk the horn because they were on their phone. And they finally woke up and we started to go. I couldn't move around them on sober like that. And then I got up beside them and I kind of looked over and they never looked at me. Because I was going to let them know, you know, what are you doing? You're supposed to be paying attention, supposed to be alert, you know. Put a little, you know, pressure on them to maybe pay a little bit better attention. But they just, you know, and the phone was in their lap. And they were waiting for the next stop sign so they could get on their phone and chat with all their friends and or people that say that they're their friends and, you know, have a good time. Now, I have to ask the Lord on a regular basis when I'm driving. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands for those that are in the same boat with me. But I do get frustrated with people that don't seem to have a clue how to drive. They don't know what a stop sign with a sign on the road that says 45. They think, well, somebody's got a 45 gun. That has nothing to do with the speed. Or maybe they think it's inches per minute. 45 inches per minute. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. But they don't know it's 45 miles per hour. But then on the other end, you've got some people that think that they're Richard Petty. And you've got to be looking in your mirror because if you move over too quick, you're going to get broadsided and they're going to peel your mirrors off because they're moving so fast. There's a lot of people that don't seem to know what they're doing when they get behind the wheel of the car. And, you know, I got behind yesterday a student driver and I followed them all the way into the Shell station. And they went over to the gas pump and the guy got out and you could tell he had had enough of this. And this young girl comes walking around, and he motioned for her to come around, and she came back around, and I could hear him talk, and he said, I'm going to show you now how to pump gas. And she said, is this part of the class? And he said, it is now. He said, I'm going to show you how to pump gas. And so she sat over there. He was trying to get her to do the pump, and she said, no, I'll watch. So I watched this little interaction, so he pumped the gas and so forth like that. And then she went, started to go around to go get back in the driver's seat, and you know what he did? He said, I'm driving. So we went back around, and she could look dejected as she got back up into the on the other side, you know, as they headed back to wherever they were going, Pace or Milton or wherever they were going to do that. But that fella had had enough. His life had been brought within a hair's breadth of eternity several times that day, all right? Now, you say, what does this have to do with the message? You can't control any of that, can you? You can't control how people are going to act around you, but you can control what? Your attitude. Your attitude. We all need to work at this. Amen. Notice, please. I'm just quickly going to look at chapter 28. And when they were escaped, they then knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. Now, notice that word, barbarous. He wasn't very complimentary, was he? In other words, these people are not what you call people that you normally sit down to dinner with, right? Or maybe you do, I don't know. Maybe you sit down to dinner with barbarous people, but he says, I was around barbarous people, and they showed us no little kindness. In other words, they were very nice. These barbarous people. For they kindled a fire and received us, every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt, this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yea, vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire. Brother Watt translated that to beast. You know, all snakes are beasts. He shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm coming to him, they changed their minds and said, he is a god. You talk about a major swing of events. He went from a murderer to a god. How would you like to do that in one sitting, you know, around a campfire? You know, he's a murderer. He got bit by a snake. And then a few minutes later, he's a god. We need to worship him. Paul, as we see from this thing, he is able to communicate with them the truth of the gospel. His attitude. Most of us would say, you've got to be kidding me. I go get sticks to build a fire only to be bit by a snake. And it just happens to be the most venomous snake on the island. How many of you feel like that sometimes? You're just a magnet. You're a magnet for trouble, you know? I didn't just get bit by any snake. I got bit by the most poisonous snake that when you get bit, you swell up and you die. But what does Paul do? Shakes him off into the fire and he goes about his business. How can he do that? Because God said, you're going to appear before Caesar and you're going to give testimony of me unto him. Paul could live his life knowing that all he had to do was trust God. Would you bow your heads, please? Father in heaven, we've tried to show tonight in this study over the past 2 months that there's a lot of things that are just completely and totally out of our control. We can't control how people drive. We can't control decisions that other people make. We can't control the weather. We can't control what's going to happen in the news tomorrow. There's so much that's out of our control, but there are things that are within our control. And I thank you so much for the testimony of the Apostle Paul. In these very dramatic events that took place, a shipwreck, having to swim ashore and then get bit by a venomous snake. Lord, these are things that for most of us would be overwhelming. But yet, this servant of the Lord was able to keep his cool and was able to be a witness and testimony to all those that were aboard that ship and to these barbarians on the island. He was able to communicate the truth of Jesus Christ. Help us, dear Lord, that we would demonstrate an attitude of trust in Thee, that no matter what happens to us, whether it's cancer, whether it's an automobile accident, whether it's a heart attack, whether it's some trouble that arises within our family, Lord, that we can know that You care for us, that You love us intently, and we just need to learn to rest and trust in Thee. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. May it work in our hearts, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.